You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. And let's get right into it with Rick with the final part of a message called, Why Does It Matter What I Believe?
Now, the Bible tells us there are three reasons why it's important what you believe, why what you believe matters. It's the next three verses on your outline. First, the Bible says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The first reason you need to know what you believe and why you believe it, you need to know it, is because it shapes your life. And if you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, your life is being shaped by something you're not even aware of. You're not even aware of it. And the Bible tells us that our beliefs determine our behaviors, that our vision determines our values, what we see determines what we sense. And so we need to work on what we want to believe. If there's some things in your life you want to change, you don't change them from the outside in, you change them from the inside out. You start with your thought life, not by trying to change external things. Yesterday, I got this email from a friend of mine, and he wrote me a letter, but this is part of the letter. He said, Dear Rick, we both know that people can change, but they can't change their behavior without first changing their beliefs. It starts in the mind. Beliefs determine behavior. Changes from the inside out. He said, had some Christians been with Jesus when he landed at Gadara and saw that wild and naked man that the Bible talks about, they would have immediately started a clothes closet for him, you know, to change the external. Jesus just went up and said, what's your name? What's your name? In other words, who are you? What's your identity? You start with the way a person sees themselves. Now, there's another reason why, and it's because if you have a faulty worldview, it's causing all kinds of problems in your life unnecessarily. Look at this next verse, Proverbs 29, verse 18. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Notice he says, when we don't have a revelation from God, we don't have God's truth, we don't see what God's doing, we don't have a worldview that's correct, we don't see where history is headed, we stumble all over ourselves. Well, of course, when you don't know the purpose of life, you just drift through it. When you don't know the purpose of life, you don't have any meaning. You're just kind of hanging out, wondering what's next. And you stumble over yourselves. But when you attend to what he reveals, you pay attention to God's revelation, he says, then you're blessed. You know, folks, I want your life to be blessed. As friends, as your pastor, my life is blessed. It is blessed by God. And I want your life to be blessed. And it's not rocket science. It says you want your life to be blessed, you just attend to the truth. You attend to what God reveals. You pay attention and get your worldview in line with reality and truth, not popular opinion. There's a third reason, and it's this next verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. Why does it matter what I believe? Well, the Bible says, always be ready. This is the Amplified translation. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully. Did you know that God expects you to not only know what you believe, and not only know what you believe, but why you believe it, and then be able to explain it to other people? Our world needs people who know what they believe, why they believe it, and can explain it to others. Because most of the people in the world don't have a clue as to what they really believe. They're a mishmash, a hodgepodge of all these different worldviews, all thrown in together. And God says, no, this is what matters. So God says, I want you to be able to explain your worldview. You may have read in the papers or heard on one of the shows that I signed a statement of about 80 Christian leaders on protecting the environment. And I got all kinds of letters saying, Rick, why are you getting involved in the environment? What's a pastor got to do with the environment and protect the environment? Well, it has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with my worldview. It's all about worldview. You see, I happen to believe the Bible. And in the first chapter of the Bible, when God creates man and he puts him on this planet, he says, the very first command God gave to human beings was, take care of my planet. It's the first thing God says to human beings. He says, I'm putting you on earth. I expect you to take care of my planet. I'm giving you dominion over it. I'm giving you, you are to subdue it. You are to be the managers of the environment. Don't mess it up. I'm holding you responsible. It's not a political statement. It's an act of stewardship. That's my worldview. It comes right out of the Bible. I was doing on the talk show on KABC on Al Rantel, and they were taking phone-in callers. And there was a guy who came on, and he was debating me on why should we care about the environment and what are you as a pastor doing caring about the environment? And I said, well, let me just ask you a question. I said, do you believe that as human beings, we are responsible to make the world just a little bit better for the next generation? Do you believe as human beings that we're responsible to not mess up the environment, but to leave the world in a little bit better shape for our children? And he said, no. No, I don't. I said, let me get this right. You don't believe we're responsible to make the world a better place. He said, no more responsible than any other species. Now, when he used that word species, he was revealing his worldview. He's a naturalist. And he's saying, I'm no more responsible for the environment than a duck is. And all ducks do is quack and poop. Well, the fact is, you may act like a duck, but you're not a duck. What he was saying when he said, no more than any other species, he's saying, we're all just animals. And I'm no more responsible for the environment than a turkey or a cow. Well, that's his worldview. It's a world without God that doesn't say that you're different. And he was saying that, no, we're all just animals. Well, if we're all just animals, let's just go do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. The fact is, you're not an animal. The Bible says you were created in the image of God. That's what makes you different from every other animal. You're never going to see a duck pray. You're never going to see a cow go into confession. Why? Because they don't have a conscience. They don't have a spirit. Animals live off of instincts. We live off of our conscience. God gave us a spirit. And you are not an animal. You are created in the image of God, uniquely different. And God made you for a purpose, and part of the purpose is to take care of what he manages, he gave you to manage. And so I said, you know what? I happen to believe my worldview is this is not my planet. It's God's. It wasn't mine before I was born. It's not going to be mine after I die. I'm only here for 80 or so years. And while I'm here, it is my responsibility to make it a little bit better for the next generation. That's a biblical worldview. And all of the conflicts that we're seeing today are worldviews in contrast, in conflict with each other. A faulty worldview causes all kinds of problems. Now, I so wanted you to get this that I wrote down a sentence. I put it all, it's a long sentence, but in one sentence, why we're doing this series on worldview. And why it's so important that you know what you believe and why you believe it and are able to explain it to other people. It says this: the crumbling of our culture, the crisis in our schools, the controversies in our courts, the corruption in our businesses, the chaos in our government, the carnality in our churches, the confusion in our families, and the conflicts in our personal lives are all caused by this futile attempt to hold and believe and live out incompatible and contradictory worldviews at the same time. And you can't do it. This is the source of all of the problems in the world. Conflicts in worldviews, competing worldviews, and you cannot hold them all at the same time. And it causes all kinds of problems. Now, quickly, how do I strengthen my worldview? Well, that's what we're going to do for these 6 weeks together. But let me give you a quick overview. You got to learn, discern, turn, and concern. Just write these down. Number one, learn the truth. That's the first step in building a strong biblical worldview, a view of reality. You must learn the truth. You know, Jesus concluded his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with a story. He said, you know, two guys go out and they build houses. One builds his house on the shaky foundation of sand, and another builds his house on the solid foundation of rock, solid rock. And when the storms come along and the winds blow and the waves rise and everything crashes in, he said, the guy who built this house on the shaky foundation of sand, it collapses. It falls in. It crumbles. There's nothing left to it. But the guy who built this house on the solid foundation of rock, it stands the test of time. And then Jesus says, here's the point. You're going to either build your life on what I say, on the truth, what God says is the truth, or you're going to build your life on popular opinion, what other people say. And if you build it on sand, it's going to crumble when times get tough. But if you build your life on rock solid truth that never changes, you will stand up under the most difficult circumstances. You see, in California, we of all people know the value of a good foundation because we have earthquakes here. And you're going to have lots of earthquakes in your life, financial earthquakes, spiritual earthquakes. I can guarantee you're going to have health earthquakes, relational earthquakes, moral earthquakes. You may have some career earthquakes. If you get married, you may have marital earthquakes. And they're going to shake you to the core. And if your foundation is not solidly built on truth, that doesn't change. It's built on popular opinion, or it's built on how you feel at the moment, you're going to crumble. You're going to collapse. You're going to cave in. That's why we're doing this series. You must learn the truth. You can build your life on truth, or you can build your life on trends. Now, you say, well, I want to be hip, and I want to be cool, and I want to be in style, and I want to be up to date. Fine. But if that's what you build your life on, I hate to tell you this, but tomorrow you're going to be unhip, uncool, out of style, and out of date. Because it changes just like that. And whoever was on the cover of Rolling Stone last week was the hero, and next week he's a zero. And if you build your life on what other people think, what happens when they change opinion and all of a sudden it's out of style? Well, then you're just drifting through life with no solid foundation. The only way to be eternally relevant is to build your life on eternal truths that don't change. That you're made for a purpose. That God made you to love you. That God wants you to know Him. And all the other things we've talked about that are part of the Christian biblical worldview. So the Bible says this in Proverbs 23. Learn the truth and never reject it. Get wisdom, self-control, and understanding. Now, how do you learn the truth? Well, you learn truth by studying this word, the Bible. Get into God's word. Second, discern what is false. Discern what is false. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says this. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. Anybody want to say amen to that? And there are a lot of lying teachers loose in the world. I love the Bible because sometimes it's just flat out in your face. You know, it just tells it like it is. It rips Norton true. You know, it doesn't beat around the bush and says, you know what, there are people out there, they're just liars. And they say they're speaking for God, but they're not. So you need to learn the truth, and then you can discern what's false. You ought to do that with me. Is what Rick's saying true? Go check it out for yourself in God's word. See, what matters is not the teacher, but the truth. Teachers come and go. What matters is truth, and that's eternal. Now he's saying discern what's false. That doesn't mean being skeptical or cynical. Cynicism is built on resentment and bitterness and hurt. Cynicism, people who are hurt are cynical. They get cynical. Cynics are always people who've been hurt. God say, no, don't be cynical, but be discerning. That's built on love and truth. Learn the truth, discern what is false. Number three, turn from the world to the word. Turn from the world to the word. The Bible says this in Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Might circle that phrase, pattern of this world. That's talking about worldview, the world's value system, materialism, hedonism, individualism, secularism, all these things. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, that means turn, by the renewing of your mind. There it is. Starts with your belief. Beliefs determine behavior, which determine what you become. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get a new worldview. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's will for your life is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. But you got to have that worldview shift, that mind shift, that transforming, renewing of the mind. I love this verse in the Message paraphrase. Look up here on the screen. It says this. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. That's what most of us do. We don't even think about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, you've got two choices. Am I going to get my advice on life from God's word, which is eternal, or the world, which is contemporary opinions? Look at the next verse. In fact, let's read this aloud together. Proverbs 15:14. A wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. Now, you cross out trash and just write in television there. A wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. So again, you've got two options on what to build your life on. Truth or trash? Truth or trash? I know people who claim to be followers of Christ, but they spend more time reading People magazine and Us and Self and Cosmo than they do reading the Bible. Do you spend more time reading truth or trash? Do you spend more time listening to truth or trash? Do you spend more time at movies watching truth or trash? What you put into your mind is what's going to come out in your lifestyle. If you want to change your life, you got to stop feeding on trash and start feeding more on truth. Spending time reading stuff you do. How many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper? Can I see your hands? I didn't think so. How many of you believe everything you watch on TV? Yeah. How many of you believe everything in the Bible is God's word, is true? Okay, then why do we spend more time watching and listening something we don't believe than something we do? How does that work? You know, the thing about these 24-hour news stations is they've made it appear like everything's important, and it's not. And they fill up hours in a day because they've got to fill it up with news, and tomorrow it doesn't even matter. And finally, learn, discern, turn, and then concern yourself with God's agenda. Concern yourself with God's agenda. Jesus said this, it's a promise in Luke chapter 12. God will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Circle primary concern. Now, you can't have two primary concerns. I want to make a lot of money, that's my number one goal, and serve God. Now, Jesus said you cannot serve both God and money. Didn't say you should not, he said you cannot. You can't have two number ones in your life. So what's going to be one and what's going to be two? What's going to be secondary and what's going to be number one? He says, put me first. Put God number one in your life. And he goes, you'll see amazing things happen. He says, I'll take care of all the rest. I'll take care of all the rest. You know, for the last 21 days, I've been on the road. And I was on three different continents. I was speaking an average of one or two times a day. First, we went to Africa, where I was in Rwanda, Uganda, and Burundi. And I met there with the president of Rwanda and with business leaders, government leaders, church leaders, working on the peace plan. The president of Rwanda asked me to go visit the president of Burundi for him, put me on his helicopter, and I fly down to Burundi and meet the president down there, talk with him about his country and the peace plan. Then from there, we fly over to Uganda and met with leaders there. And then after a week in Africa, and I had just seen this spiritual emptiness there, people going, we want hope, we have needs. I fly to Europe. And in Europe, I spoke five times at the World Economic Forum in Davos. 2,000 of the brightest people in the world brought in to discuss the conditions of the world, presidents, prime ministers, media, business moguls, gazillionaires. And I saw the theme of the World Economic Conference, and it was this: committed to improving the state of the world. There's only one problem. When you remove God out of the picture, all you've got left is politics. And that has failed for the last 100 years. Politics has not solved poverty and disease and a lack of education and illiteracy and all the major problems. You see, you're not going to solve the state of the world until first you deal with the souls of people, because they're what make the world. You can't legislate change. You can't force people to change. You can't make a law that makes people be nice to each other. It has to change in their worldview. And I saw such emptiness in so many lives without God at the World Economic Forum. Then I flew from there to Washington, D.C., where I spent a week in Washington, D.C. And I had been invited to speak to a group of congressmen there, met with a group of senators, spoke to them, and actually had dinner with all of the senators and their wives right before the State of the Union message, which I was invited to be a part of. Spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, did a bunch of interviews. And in Washington, D.C., the center of power in America, I saw such spiritual emptiness. And people going, this isn't working. Government's at a standstill. We're at a loggerhead. Nothing's getting done. And I left after a week of Washington, D.C., and I fly out here to Hollywood, the media capital of the world. And I'm a closing speaker, one of the final speakers at the entertainment gathering. And there, again, I found this spiritual emptiness. And I saw in all of these areas, in Africa, in Europe, in D.C., in Hollywood, the exact same problems. People need God, and they need truth, and they've built their houses on shifting sands, and when the crisis comes, they're going, where's the hope? And it was like person after person, the best way I could describe it would be like a group of people who've been walking across the Sahara Desert for 3 weeks without water, and their throat is parched, and their lips are cracked, and their tongue is thick, and they're going, will somebody please give me a drink of living water? Will somebody please show me how my life can have meaning and significance and purpose? Because I'm successful, but I don't feel significant. And I thought, we have what they need. We have the living water of God's truth that refreshes and restores and rejuvenates and revitalizes and changes our lives. And we have the message. We have to know what we believe, know why we believe it, be able to share why we believe it, and then live it. My goal for you and for our church here at Saddleback during this series is the last verse on your outline, 1 Corinthians 14. Stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. In other words, be innocent regarding evil and perversion. But in your thinking, be adults. And what we need today in our world, really more than anything else, are people who have a clear worldview. They know what they believe. They know why they believe it. They can explain it to people in the world who haven't the slightest clue what they believe. And most important of all, they live it. They live what they believe. That, friends, will change the world. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I thank you that you have given us truth on which to build our lives. Truth that will never change. And when everything else changes in our lives, there's a rock of stability that we can find our anchors in and that we can grab onto when the storms of life come. Now you pray. You say, dear God, I want to know the truth. I want to learn the truth. I want to discern what is false. I want to turn from the world to the Word. And I want to concern myself with your agenda and what you're doing in the world. Help me to know what I believe. And then help me to live what I believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.